66. Confirm contact 1028 local.
Confirm your dope. Up 23. Right 2.
Stand by.
Send it. Good hit.
I'm building a road, gentlemen. I'm building a road, and it is going like a dagger into the heart of the enemy.
But I've lost 36 civilians in the last 4 months. And this has got to stop.
I'm your partner in peace.
This is the birthplace of the
Taliban. Okay, welcome to Viewfinder Podcast. I am Marley.
I'm Sam.
I'm Mopley, I guess.
I'm Cassidy.
Very good. And today we are talking about Hyena Road. It's a little bit of an older movie from 2015. It is a dramatic war film, which is a genre that I try to stay away from. But for the listeners, doing it for the listeners. Okay, so the plot is basically that in Kandahar province in Afghanistan, I think they're American, right? They're American?
No, they're Canadian.
They are Canadian.
Canadian film.
Okay.
Participation.
Yeah, I must... you can tell how closely I studied this film. Anyway. Okay, so it just basically is kind of like their relationship with the people in Afghanistan and insurgents kind of is how I would describe it. Yeah, so like initial thoughts. Did we like it? Did we not like it?
I think we have a lot to unpack.
Yeah.
Like, sounds like
it's such a mixed bag for me. It's like the parts I liked, I really liked, and the parts that were bad were just like so terribly bad.
Yeah. I found the beginning kind of first sequence, maybe like even the first 20 minutes, very confusing. There was like no real like who's the protagonist. It was just sort of like introducing you to a bunch of different people.
They kind of started off with like the first scene is them going down the road, and then it kind of shows his job of being like super observant of the environment, and he sees those black lines on the road, and he's like, you know, questioning it. And like, I think it starts off with just like action just to kind of draw you in. But yeah, it doesn't clear it up till later.
Yeah, because I can't remember, does it start with the narration?
No, yeah, it starts with the narration where he gives the wrong fact that Kandahar is the birthplace of the Taliban, which is not.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the Taliban didn't start there. It started in Pakistan.
Oh, okay. So, yikes.
Mm. Yeah. Right off the bat.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is pretty strange.
So it gives just the... Yeah, it narrates, and then it moves to, like, they're sniping this guy on the road, I think.
Yeah.
The guy was setting up some sort of
explosive. Explosive, yeah.
Yeah. Which explodes.
I mean, okay, so...
It does explode.
The explosive exploded.
Okay, so it was shot in Jordan and also here. Mm-hmm. Mostly here, I think, at the base at Shiloh, right?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Like, that's kind of cool. I also had a little bit of interest in this movie because I have two twin cousins who went to Afghanistan.
Right.
And they went, they were actually in Kandahar at the base, I think, that they referenced in the movie. So that was kind of like cool. It kind of gave me a bit of an idea of like maybe what it would have looked like for them to be there. But then it was also just having that kind of level of like reality around it. I was like, oh my God, like this is like really kind of like scary and awful. And
I think that's one of the things, like, I know a lot of people have issue with war films, and like, I definitely am hesitant and always take things with a grain of salt. But like, that's one thing that I do appreciate in just any movie in general that puts you in a position like of an occupation of something, of someone who, like, a lot of people don't have those jobs, so it's so rare to like know what that experience is like, and just to kind of put yourself in that mindset of like, what's it like there, like as a human being, to have like that brain and like to wake up and be like, but I could, like, die today. And like,
there's like just so many other war movies that do that, and like,
it's true.
this one's it's just like, it's just another war movie that goes to like jingoistic like patriotism of like, oh, look at us good Canadians doing good in the Middle East where you know, we totally belong. And
yeah,
I don't know. I mean, I didn't like, I felt, It felt like they were fighting a losing battle a lot of the times, and you had the Paul Gross character kind of like stare directly at the audience and give a monologue about how you can't win this war, and it's like, thanks, Paul Gross, I thought looked exactly like Billy Bob Thornton, which threw me off throughout the entire movie.
I like his voice. Like, he has a very interesting voice.
He looks like an army dude. Like, that's like literally like to a T. Like, he is the guy.
I don't know. I found the movie very boring. It was so hard to pay attention.
I found it pretty boring, too. I, like, kind of perked up a little bit when it was like, ooh, like, the guy's going to die. Like, he's going to sacrifice his life or whatever.
Well,
and
I was like, oh, wait. Like, of course he's going to.
Like, it, like, pulled me out of, like, whatever, I don't know, sort of, like, sleep lull. I was having. Yeah, the lull.
Yeah.
I felt like I usually hate, like, those very shaky cam action sections, and I didn't really like them in this, but I think they were done for a point. I think they were he was trying to figure out, like, use the action scenes as reflective of the, maybe I'm giving him too much credit, but use the action scenes as reflective of the situation in Afghanistan where you're like surrounded and don't know what's going on.
I actually wrote something down about the shakiness, like, right off the hop. In general, I don't like shaky cam. It's just, like, I think it's kind of a lazy film technique. And what especially bothered me was when they were doing shaky cam when they were just talking. It was like they're literally just sitting there talking, and it's like, let's move the camera around. And it's
I feel like it was almost like an attempt to try and, like, give the viewer, like, a physical space within the movie, like, as if you're a person, like, sitting there and, you know, kind of, like, moving around. I did find it jarring at some points, though. And then other times,
don't like shaky cam.
Yeah. I mean, I don't like it either, but
I think it was done for a reason, even though I didn't like it.
And at some points, it did it really well in a way that, like, I noticed it, but it was, like, also effective and
a lot of action movies use shaky cam, and it's just a standard action movie, and they just use shaky cam, and you're like, why are you using shaky cam? But this one, I can see what he was see what he was trying to do, even though I'm not sure if it 100% worked for me. But then again, I'm super biased against shaky cam in general, so can, like, the love plot.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, too.
Awful.
I yelled. I, wow. Like, yelled when she, like, went for the hand job. I was just like, ugh. Yeah. No. What? Don't.
What? Like it added nothing.
It made what
because
could have
then it
been.
Made and it the, made his death, like, extra tragic.
I think did that's
it
though? I think, well,
he
the
had
fact that she
a
was
baby.
Pregnant, right?
He had a baby on the way.
And yeah, I think that's why it also kind of was in there too to add
she was
to, like,
literally
the tragedy of his death, and
she was a prop.
Yeah,
she was a prop to make our character's death at the end feel more impactful.
Yeah,
which just didn't work because it's like really obvious what it's doing. Like, this, it's like so bad.
Yeah,
I'm
and just
sexy,
like,
soldier man. I'm gonna sacrifice my life, even though I've got a child on the way.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just, it wasn't believable. They didn't have chemistry together, I think, which I think also kind of affected, like, the acting wasn't very good.
She wasn't a character.
Also,
I don't,
not allowed.
Like, I get it.
Not allowed.
What are the protocols around this?
Exactly.
God,
that's
like,
why
I don't
was kind of concerned. I'm like, am I just, like, completely out of the loop that I don't know, like, really the rules when you're there on, you know, serving?
Well, like, you're there to do a job. You can't be, like, distracted.
But everyone,
by,
it's like,
it's
even, like, his superior knew.
Yeah.
That
and I, like, I assume people fuck. Like, you're surrounded by death and chaos and
it
fucking.
Definitely, it definitely happens. Yes, right. But, like,
100%. It's probably rampant. Like, that's what I would assume.
Well, yeah. Like,
I don't know.
At the same time, you're probably too. You're probably too sweaty and disgusting to, like, even do anything.
When you're deprived.
The human will.
Yeah.
I guess, like, I can relate because, you know, going to folk festival. Being, like, not showering for 3 days.
Going to folk fest is like going to Afghanistan.
People who go to folk fest and camp there are braver than the Canadians.
If the tents are rocking, don't come a-knocking, as they say.
Oh, man.
Yeah, yeah, country. I don't know. I think we can all agree that the relationship in this movie was like pretty, just
pointless.
It was pointless. I don't know. The whole, yeah.
I feel, then she gets, I feel like there was a point to it. I just don't know if like it worked for me. Like, I don't know. I didn't really care that much.
Yeah, no. And just
like, she was
no,
fine, and yeah, she was a fine actor and everything. But like, it was like, it almost seemed just a tiny bit forced.
Yeah,
the like interactions. It
didn't necessarily go with like the rest of the flick. Yeah. Like, they're trying to find this like crazy guy with two different colored eyes, and he's like whatever.
Yeah.
But it's like that.
The village mystic.
Yeah, like it was just, that was like also bizarre. But they just, the two like stories that they were trying to tell didn't really like intertwine very well.
Yeah. Well, apparently he wanted to tell a story of like the three different types of people in the war, like the intel, the sniper. Mm-hmm. And then, like, the elder.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, like, I don't know.
I don't know. I'm fresh off playing Metal Gear Solid 5, which takes place in Afghanistan and is kind of, like, a ridiculously cheesy. It takes place in Afghanistan during the Cold War, during the original part of that. Mm-hmm. So I guess I was in a bit more of a forgiving mood for
I think,
like mystical,
I think you just want to see the good in movies. I think that's just kinda, it.
Yeah.
This movie, I was like, it was like, it's okay, and then the ending happened, and I liked downer endings.
Yeah.
It's like, and it took me off guard too, as well, which I give, like, I don't, yeah, like I didn't expect like them to all brutally get killed.
I don't know. I expected it. Like, he was just like there. He's like already given up, and it's like, oh, I can't remember how the scene rolled out, but it was like,
well, you have the one guy get shot in the face right away.
Like, I'm sure this guy could possibly get out of this situation or something. I don't know, but it was, yeah, like,
I didn't expect it to be so, like, it was shot very brutal and matter of fact, which I thought, like,
yeah,
like, it almost didn't draw attention. Like, it's kind of, it's almost, there's, it's very, it holds back until that point.
Yeah.
In terms of, like, violence.
Until the end.
And gore. Until the end.
That's
kind of
what I thought, too.
At the end, when that switch.
Switched a flip. Ew. Flipped a switch.
I thought that was really effective.
I think. Yeah,
and you expect a couple of them to die, and then they're like running back for cover, and the guy steps on a mine, and both his legs go blown off, and I'm like, oh, this is going in a different direction.
Shit.
Like, I think like it did provide that insight, and it did like, it gave an accurate portrayal of like what is going on there and what they're doing there, especially in terms of like diplomatic work. But I think like, it just had the most boring visuals, the most boring.
It was just
like,
boring.
Yeah.
Like,
and like,
but see, I don't know if I'm just biased because I don't like movies about war, and I specifically do not like movies about Afghanistan wars. I don't know. Like, I just found it really boring. Like,
but I think that's the thing, is like, it, you know, for someone who isn't interested in that type of stuff, like, it's a movie, so it should have that cinematic factor that it will reel someone in who's not interested in
like, just this because type of stuff. It's not your kind of thing doesn't mean that it's like, oh, well, you're just biased because you don't like war movies. And it's like, no, there are war movies I do like. It's just, this one is very dull to look at.
Yeah. I also thought the whole scenario with, like, the guys that they're like talking to or whatever, they're trying to get the Hyena Road built or whatever, and I guess they somehow need their help. Like, I literally understood nothing that
I read a couple of just reviews online, and a lot of people were just confused. They're like, what is Hyena Road even for? And like, I guess like it does say a snippet in the beginning how it's like they want to get in there, they're building this road to have better access to, like, you know, do all these things, but it's very like just touched upon and kind of glazed it over, and it kind of, like, you lose sight of, like, well, what are they doing really? I don't know if it's communicated, like,
easily. I don't know what it was, like, just to I don't know.
This movie is missing like context. We don't have context for basically anything,
like why they're there, like what, like when was it supposed to take place?
I think like I don't know exact date, but like mid-2000s.
Like, yeah, like afterward.
I would say like 2006 to 2009 or
okay, yeah, something. That's kind of
the
like
the only thing we're giving context for is the backstory of the ghost.
Mm-hmm,
and yeah. And I thought that was
yeah.
Wait,
relatively
that was interesting.
That was interesting.
And I thought it was really interesting.
Who was the ghost?
The elder with two eyes.
The line of
the
desert.
The mystic guy.
Wait, was he a ghost?
No.
They just called him
the
ghost.
I remember.
Yeah. But I was a little bit confused because the ghost and the line of the desert are the same person, but he was a ghost because they couldn't kill him in previous encounters. But,
I did appreciate this movie gave me pre-made nicknames for a lot of the characters.
Yeah, Cassidy, you're all about the naming.
I don't remember actual character names, so it's like, oh, good, I don't need to remember this guy's name.
So
his
what,
name
they,
is
what
just
were the names
ghost.
Of other people from this movie? That you like, what was Jen's
sniper.
Name?
I don't know their
main
names.
Sniper. Mustache
pregnant
sniper.
Lady.
pregnant lady. Paul Gross's character was white hair.
He looked good in this movie.
And there was the black sniper as well. He's like the only black guy in the entire movie. So
black guy.
have you seen his other war film? Because apparently he did that.
Passchendaele.
Passchendaele. Yeah.
Okay. So did any of you guys see that? I've
no.
never seen it.
No.
But
it
apparently
my
said
friend
after
said
it.
It's another jingoistic like.
Apparently this one was better. From I haven't seen it, but he said like I never want to do another war film again because of
why
X
did
and
he
X,
make two?
All these other reasons. Because he went there and he like I guess got like interested in his experience and his story and he wanted to like he's like okay I got to do this again and like he said it's even though it's expensive and blah 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 but.
From what I understand, like I read a little bit about this, is Passchendaele is much more jingoistic in terms of its idea. It's the central idea, I think, of Passchendaele is World War One as the first true moment on the world stage for Canada, whereas this, he's trying to tell the story of the mess that was Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So from what I understand, Passchendaele is very much probably a little bit more... jingoistic, I think, is probably a good term.
A little fun fact, because there's a part where you see Tim Hortons on the base.
Yeah.
And I was just like, it makes sense that they have, like, restaurants there, but I was just like, Tim Hortons
just
on the base.
Just a little.
But then my boyfriend's like, yeah, it's pretty common. Like, in Guantanamo Bay, there's a Subway. There's a Germany base that has a Taco Bell.
Yeah.
They just taken over.
Yeah.
And but there was Tim Hortons in Kandahar.
I know
that people, soldiers and their families live on Guantanamo Bay, but just like the idea of a Subway in Guantanamo Bay.
Yeah. Is very
that's
strange.
So strange.
Just even like, just like imagine working at the Tim Hortons.
Yeah.
like who does
say,
that?
When you say that here, you're like, oh, I work at Tim's, you just instantly get this image of like this, you know. In a small place, they're like happy. You don't think of being at war, serving
in frickin' Afghanistan, serving up,
double doubles to the soldiers.
It's like that's just like crazy to me.
Yeah, that's wild.
But like that kind of like points to how like like just what a machine that whole thing was, right? It's like no, let's build a base. Where we know we're going to be there for a while, so, like, fuck it. Put a Tim Hortons in there. And people, at least, we know that the Canadians are comfortable.
Remind them of home.
Yeah. Like,
there's kind of so many people there, though. Like, didn't he say something like,
I don't know,
I have written
people.
60,000 people that they said. Like, what?
And there's, like, people from all over the world, right? Like,
Americans,
British.
Everywhere.
That's it. That's all I know.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah,
but the places that were shot in Shiloh, Manitoba, right? Mm-hmm. Was that only like the base that Jen, like the woman, was at, or was it just like
I think
multiple
a lot of,
scenes?
Some of the outside stuff
the
as well.
Overhead shots are like the sky shots. I think was of Shiloh.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
But then there was quite a few scenes like filmed in Afghanistan and Jordan.
Yeah, like the first scene. Is definitely like I had to like look it up. I'm like, okay, wait, is this actually filmed in Manitoba? Like, I just
research here. It didn't seem like plausible, but
I definitely like with the overhead shots, they show like the base and stuff. You can kind of tell that it's definitely not like Afghanistan,
yeah, for sure.
Is there even anything left to say about this movie? Are we supposed to
some of the like villages and stuff like that. I kind of like the look of some of the settings, even though I don't think they were captured that well.
I think I wrote down like might as well be on Mars. I don't know what that was like referring to.
Maybe like just all
like
the,
in the cliffs, the probably sand. Like the cliffs in
like
the sand.
Like that first scene when they're like taking cover in that village.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was just so like instantly when they showed that guy the older man with the two different colored eyes, they like zoomed in on his face and it was like a still like just stare, and it was like, okay, this guy's like the main character,
this guy's
like
important. Yeah, he's the village mystic.
And then when they like go into his home or whatever, when he invites them in, and then he's like sitting there super composed, and this like blast comes from like right beside him, and he like doesn't even flinch. It's just like poof, and it like explodes the wall, and he's like sitting there, and he's just
wise,
like, so cool.
He's a wise old man.
I was like, damn, he didn't even move.
He's zen.
Yeah.
The story, this isn't like, if the focus had been like a nice 90 minutes about the ghost and the three-letter named who's
BDK.
Order BDK. Uh-huh. If the focus was 100% on that, and you push the Canadian military stuff way in the background, that's a much more entertaining.
Yeah,
movie.
Well, that's kind of
like
what it
show the relationship between like
and we got context.
We got the background of the ghost.
Instantly, you kind of
the background of BDK, and we understood why they were in conflict, and whereas everything else is kind of muddled. That one conflict was the one clear conflict.
Because up until then, it was very just like, we got to find out why he's back.
Yeah, we got to go do the thing at the place. Now we got to do this thing at this place.
Yeah, and when they like got that intel, boring. That's when it really like took off. And you're
and
like,
then it's
okay.
Like, you're excited to see the ghost, who's the legendary Mujahid. I can't say that. Not even going to try. Yeah. But the legendary fighter from the Cold War era against the Soviets. And you're like... Like, I don't know. I just immediately liked that character. And
yeah, no, he was interesting. I wanted to know more about him the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we didn't get enough for that. I don't think that, like, it was the most fleshed out part of the movie, but I still wanted to see more of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Earlier even or something. I don't know.
Again, and on a good note, and I'll always remember about the movie is, like you knew when they were attacking that one or two of them would die, but I did not expect it to be so brutal and like because it had held back a little bit up to that point. Like usually, like people get shot, but then they kind of just fall out of frame. Like if they're fighting a Taliban member and they shot the Taliban member would just fall out of frame.
Right.
But then we like lingered on like somebody with their legs blown off, like slowly dying in front of you.
The guy's head who got.
Oh
like,
my god!
That was a quick cutaway. Whoa.
And it was that was the perfect length for that cutaway to the guy's head, the guy's face that got shot.
Yeah,
it was the perfect amount of time. It wasn't too long and it wasn't too short. So I thought the ending was very effective, which is probably why I remember a little bit more positively than it deserves.
So this movie gets a 55% on the tomato meter, RottenTomatoes.com. Do we think it's fair? Mm-hmm. Not fair.
Yeah. I mean, I would say this. I don't know. This feels like a lot of people like it. I don't think it's unanimous that it's like an awful movie. Like, I think a lot of people do like it, but a lot of people just are like, meh.
It's just
so it's kind of like sometimes it falls flat with people. Yeah.
It's just I don't know. I found it very convoluted, and the movie throws jargon at you,
and that's like the point of the movie is to throw jargon.
That's one of the
like,
other things.
Look at how accurate my jargon is. That I'm sure the.
But
the,
see, no
the
one can 40, get...
the 40 snipers that are going to watch this movie are going to be like, man, he did his research. But everyone else is going to be like, what?
It's funny. Yeah, you can't even verify it because I'm just like, I wrote that down because I was watching it and it's just like so many like movie in 22.
Yeah.
And
I think
I'm just like, holy crap. Like they obviously need to do
I think that
research.
Was the priority for the filmmaking crew was getting that stuff accurate. Not necessarily almost telling it a compelling story was secondary to getting the details accurate.
Except. Didn't even get the first detail accurate. But I remember that took me out of the movie a lot, was just like throwing around all the jargon, and I was just like, if it weren't for this podcast, I wouldn't have watched the movie.
Yeah, I wanted to give up, and I think I fell asleep a little bit in the middle of it. Sorry.
I told my boyfriend to like because it was right before school, so I had to, like, I couldn't pause it or anything, and I was like, can you just, like, watch it for me while I'm, like, taking a shower and yeah. tell me, like, what Filled happened?
So funny.
But while you're, like, taking a shower, I can just picture that. I mean, well, that sounds bad.
Oh, Sam.
Oh, my gosh.
Picturing me in the shower.
Wow. Content warning yeah. of this podcast. It gets a little R-rated. That's not what I meant, y'all.
Throw your trigger warnings out, please.
Ha ha ha, I can picture you in the shower, hopefully. No, anyway, I think everyone God. Knows what I meant. My face turns red here. yeah, I didn't mind it. I don't know. There, I was definitely not, like, overly, like, would...
It's not a movie I can get passionate about either mm-hmm. way.
No, yeah.
I get more passionate if I, like, delve into it and I, like, kind of looked into, like, what... was going on, like, why Paul Gross wanted to do it and, like, the real stuff that happened to him more than, like, the film itself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Like, that's more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Does it's your cousins, right? That yeah. were, do they ever talk about any of their experiences okay, or anything
well,
like
so
that?
For the Remembrance Day thing, I talked to my cousin Amy. So, yeah, so she told me kind of, you know, lots about just, like, yeah, life on the base and stuff like that and, mm-hmm. and like, talking to... like locals and stuff like that. So, like, I definitely, when I was watching this movie, I definitely was like, oh my God, like, I was thinking back to all the stuff that she told me just a couple months ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. They both, they're twin girls and they both met their significant others there. So that's how I know that there's some fucking going
yeah.
on.
Yeah. From an inside point of view,
from
she
the
knows.
Inside, I know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a movie that gets the details right, but not much else.
Yeah, I think that's a very succinct way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
Also yeah. boring.
Yeah.
Sorry.
They're
taking little kids.
Do not intervene.
We gotta do something.
Your guys will stand down.
I'm proud of what we do here. But if we can't help, what's the point of doing all this?
These people play both sides. One day they're with us, and the next they're with the Taliban.
It's not one war. It's a whole bunch of different wars.
We're not playing games. You fight your war, Captain. I'll fight mine.
You got any idea what you've done? And you intervene in something you know nothing about.
And you think he can change everything with just one bullet?
I think it might be more complicated than that.
So do you guys want to do maybe a bit of an extended-ish version of recommendations?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, I actually watched something this week that I am wholeheartedly recommending, and it's something that has been on my list for a while. It's the Daft Punk Interstellar 5555. Oh, so I watched, I watched the whole thing.
What is it?
It's the album. It's Daft Punk's 5555 album that I think they hired an animation studio. It's Japanese anime style, and they tell a story just by just playing through the album, and it's good. it's something that's completely different.
Yeah.
There's no dialogue, and even the songs don't actually have dialogue. It's just it's weird. It's very much like it's like Japanese anime where it's like kind of like weird. It's like things don't really make sense
a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cuz the story, which I don't mind spoiling because that's kind of not the point of this movie of right. this thing. The story is on a distant planet, there's a race of blue people, and they play kick-ass music, and some demon from Earth travels through a wormhole to this planet to capture them and brainwash them and have them produce hip music for him.
That sounds so fucking bonkers.
It is
so
bonkers. It's so bonkers. And he dyes them like pink or flesh colored or whatever you want to say,
flesh colored.
Yeah, well, that's only white people.
Yeah, no, there's no one of. He turns one of them into a black guy.
We're just bugging.
this group becomes popular, except they're like brainwashed and like very like robot like, and. and eventually a blue person follows them through the wormhole in his spaceship that's shaped like a giant guitar. And like has to like save them from the brainwashing, and then they have to figure out how to get home. And it's nice. And it turns out the demon was using the golden records that he got. This was the 5,555th record, golden record that he got from producing hit music. He was using them to build a lava fortress that was gonna like shoot up into the sky and like summon a demon or something. I don't know. It's really weird.
I'm so into this. Like, I'm gonna watch this tonight.
Like, yeah, it's like an hour long too, so it's nice. Like a nice quick watch. Oh, yeah. And it turns out that like all the hit acts of over time were actually aliens that this demon has like captured, and like Mozart even. Yeah. Like that's the first one that we see is like little Mozart on the piano is like a brainwashed alien. And then he like sacrifices him into the lava and like puts the first record into the like.
I love it.
It's ridiculous, and it's ridiculous and fun, and it has a nice happy ending.
Yeah,
it's kind of. I didn't realize that they have another movie too.
Yeah, I think they did something similar with a couple of their
Electroma.
Others.
Electroma.
Yes.
Daft Punk's Electroma. I'm gonna be on like a Daft Punk.
Someone said on the radio like a couple months ago, Daft Punk. They were, and it was like
they should do a beer.
My boyfriend just looked
Draft
at each
Punk.
Other. We're like, what?
That's my idea. File that one away for later.
Yeah.
Draft
so
Punk,
so
I
like
that.
Like you discover it, you're like, oh, I feel like listening to like the like Stronger, Better, Faster, Harder, or whatever. Yeah. And you look up that music video, and it's like just that section from
of the
thing, and you're like, what's going on? And then you like do a little bit of research, and you find out it's like a whole movie, and you're
okay, that's so
let's
cool.
check it out. So
I love that.
It's super fun.
Definitely add that to the list.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully.
Oh, it's me next.
Oh. Yeah.
All right. So the movie I'm going to recommend is going to be Millennium Actress. It is by director Satoshi Kon, and it's for all y'all anime fans out there.
Oh, shit.
If you're
double dose of anime today.
Wow. Yeah. Well, if you're like basic and the only anime movies you watch is like Studio Ghibli, then give Satoshi Kon a try because... it's very interesting. Like, one of his movies, Paprika, I hope that's what it's called. Hold on.
Confirm.
Paprika. Yeah, Paprika came before Inception, so a lot of people kind of accuse Inception of, like, plagiarizing a bit the plot. I don't think that's what happened, but, like, Paprika is basically... same kind of plot, dreams within a dream, but it's animated, and it's like, it's just so beautiful. Like, just the way it's animated, it's like very confusing at the same time, because like there's a lot of switching between like past, present, and it's like that for pretty much all his movies. Is there's just like a lot of just suddenly going from past to present, and you're not really sure what's reality
mm-hmm.
anymore. Millennium Actress is a lot easier to get into. It's about an actress, Chiyoko Fujiwara, who was like popular back in the 50s, and then she like mysteriously disappeared. And so this documentary filmmakers go in to do like an interview with her where they talk about her life, because like, you know, she's a legend. And it starts from when she was like 10 years old, and she meets this young man who's like a rebel against the government. So the police is like tracking him down, and she like helps hide him, and he gives her like, can't remember what he gives her, like a watch, I think. And then he's like, yeah, I'll come back for this. So the whole movie, her whole life, she spends trying to find him. And
interesting.
Yeah, I cried at the end. Oh. And it's like...
I always like a movie that can make me feel enough to cry.
Yeah, and I just like period pieces as well.
Yeah, same.
especially animated period pieces. I don't know why specifically, but I just love animated period pieces. And like the other fun thing about Satoshi Kon is that it's like a lot more adult themes. And that's something I appreciate in anime movies. I'm not big in TV shows, animated TV shows, but I do like a lot of movies. So that's my recommendation.
Very nice.
Nice. Okay, well, I guess I kind of have two recommendations, but to switch gears a little bit, was it yesterday or the day before? You know how you just put on a movie, just something like super fluffy and like just kind of like to have on in the background that you just that just makes you feel good for some reason, whatever that may be. I put on The Backup Plan. Have you guys ever seen that with Jennifer Lopez?
Yes, yes, I have.
It's just super like rom-com. Like just,
I've
like,
seen every J-Lo movie.
And like it's so funny because like I love J-Lo and I don't know why. And like a lot of people, like my boyfriend hates her. Like he just says like she's an awful actress and whatever. But like, I don't know. She just makes me feel good. And I watched The Backup Plan, and it's basically, for anyone who hasn't seen it, it's basically this woman who decides, even though she's single, to have a baby from a donor, and then she ends up like that day like meeting this guy who she like is serious about. It's pretty predictable, but I put it on after a long day of assignments and
totally that's
feeling really like, you know,
exactly what you need sometimes,
bogged down, and I put on this like awesome super rom-com movie and it made me feel really good, so I would recommend that.
It was nominated for a Teen Choice Award for choice movie
the
romantic
backup
comedy
plan?
Yes,
awesome.
And, I mean, like, when you think it's no.
And Jennifer Lopez was, I think, movie actress and nominated the prestigious Teen Choice Awards. I'm just looking on the IMDb page and I'm like, this
won
an award?
It totally is something that a teenager would like, totally. I could see that. Yeah. Like,
I think I have only seen the Teen Choice Awards once, and it was like, I don't know. I was like,
is that where
Hawaii
they give the surfboard
theme?
I vaguely always remember seeing like pictures in like teen magazines of people holding up a surfboard award, but I was kind of like, I never paid attention to what it actually was.
I guess because it's in California, or why?
I don't know.
It's just like, teens, cowabunga, dude.
I also feel like Johnny Depp recently won like a Teen's Choice Award for something, and I just found that like very weird. Like recently in like the
Johnny
last
Depp?
Like 2 or 3 years. And it's like, if you've seen him, he like looks like your drunk uncle. Like your parents are like,
I feel like
maybe
he,
just don't talk to him.
I like, feel like he hasn't done anything good for a long time.
No, like he's just like, been literally getting wasted and playing Jack Sparrow.
Think Jack Sparrow's like that's Johnny Depp.
He was
is
in
Jack
that
Sparrow
awful sci-fi movie Transcendence, where he upload his brain
onto
the computer.
That was not good.
It seemed really boring.
It was not good. Don't watch it.
Yeah.
That's an unrecommend from me.
The backup plan, like, for a romantic comedy,
Johnny
is
Depp.
like looking at the logline, you can see how it would be a good movie.
I was gonna say
it's a woman conceives twins through artificial insemination, only to meet the man of her dreams on the very same day. And it's like, you could see how that could work.
I was gonna say,
honestly,
it's creative, and it's like, it's not for some reason I feel like it doesn't come across as cheesy, even though like as a whole like it is a bit cheesy, but like it doesn't feel that way. And I also really like the actor, like the guy in it, the main character.
So beautiful.
I think he is. Oh my god! I'm like, oh my god!
Like
gosh,
you can.
I don't even know his name, to be honest. I've never seen him in anything else. He's
objectify the shit out of that guy. Oh, no idea what his name is.
I know.
You can see that things happen in that movie just based on the premise.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
not like two people fall in love. It's like, no, things are happening.
There's
in this
a
movie.
Thing that's happening. Yeah. And it's a really legitimate thing that many women might go through. So
he's the guy who plays in the new Hawaii Five-0.
Oh really?
not the new one.
Coming
it's,
up
like,
in
remake.
The world.
Yeah. But I was trying to think, like, made me think too. Like, I was like, like if I wanted to have children and I wasn't with anybody, I was like, would I do that? And I was like, I mean, aside from the fact that you need like a bunch of money, but like, I'm like, I probably would do that too, and that would really suck to like be in that situation and then meet someone and be like, oh, I'm pregnant, but I don't know what's going on.
It is like kind of it has a good strong premise of like this kind of like wacky but like realistic kind of like idea,
Good.
I like that movie. It's a good one.
My other recommendation is, I don't know if anyone's seen it, I just watched it on Netflix. Again, The Gift.
No.
With Jason Bateman. And it's it's basically about this Jason Bateman and his wife move. I can't remember what city they're living in, but they move to a different city and like kind of restart their life, and he gets a new like job. But his past kind of comes back to him with this like man that he runs into. Like, they're middle-aged, and he runs into this guy he went to high school with, but like it doesn't show it till the end, but like Jason Bateman was a bully to this guy, and he kind of like has like it out for him and kind of wants him to smooth it over and gives him, Jason Bateman, a chance to like repatch things, but he doesn't really, because he's kind of like a shitty person,
right?
And then he like keeps coming to their house with like a gift, and he's kind of like this socially awkward man, but then he like causes like real havoc in their lives, and he like gets in there, and he starts to become really creepy. It's really creepy, but like the ending, the twist is so good. So it's like, it's really, I'd say it's worth the watch. It's on Netflix.
Interesting.
Yeah,
I'll definitely add that one to my list too. Mm-hmm. For when we're done school in 12 days, I can binge watch movies.
The list is just growing. I know,
it's
growing,
getting
and
very
growing.
Long and very confused. There's just so many things on it.
Looking at my watch list, and I have 344 films on it.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. Better get going.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm trying to think of my recommendation. Okay, so I've been watching a lot of really bad TV. Kind of what you just said, just to, like, put a show on in the background. Like, I just kind of like to hear, like, chatter, you know, while I'm, like, working or whatever. So lately I've been watching this remake of an 80s TV show called Dynasty. And, oh, my God, you guys, it is just, like, soap opera.
Really?
And... like, so far, like, everybody slept together. Like,
yes.
Several
always.
People have, like, drug addictions that they're hiding.
Nice.
Like,
several people.
There may have been, like planned, premeditated murders. Like, this shit is juicy. It's hot. Every episode, I, like, look up from, like, my laptop, and I'm like, oh, my God. Like, Suzanne, like, what has she done? She's betrayed this other guy. So, like, I'm literally just, like, I binge-watched the entire like seasons of the remake, and I think I might go back and watch the old 80s version now, because I think that might be kind of fun to just kind of see that
the comparisons,
like,
and
the comparisons, and also just like it's a show that's basically about, you know, people who are rich and like have way too much money, and they have private jets, and they have like giant homes and big businesses. Mm-hmm. So I think it would kind of be fun to go back and watch that and like see like the 80s style and like of the that. Like house interiors and like all that shit. Like, that's like kind of the only thing I pick up from the show when I'm just like barely watching it, you know. I'm like, oh, cool dress, like, so that's what I've been watching. I don't know if I can recommend it, but it's like, if you like that kind of shit and you just need something on in the background, that's what I would recommend. And then at the other show that I've been watching, which is actually not as crappy, is Big Little Lies. If you guys,
I've seen one episode. I think it was the pilot, and
I
liked it.
Yeah, it's really good. It's basically kind of like, it follows like these women living in a California town and just kind of their relationships. Oh, and they all are like small children that are like in the same class or whatever.
Well,
so
Reese Witherspoon.
It's like got a crazy cast. It's like Reese Witherspoon, Nicole Kidman, Laura Dern, Shailene Woodley. Mm-hmm. Like, it's got like, there's a lot of like
92% on Rotten Tomatoes, 7.2.
Yeah, there's a lot of really like great actors in it. The acting is like fantastic. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of like, I don't know, there is like kind of like a deeper mystery that you find. I think there's only 8 episodes. It's like a mini series, I guess. And so there's kind of like this mystery, and then it's just kind of like the interaction of, you know, people and like their kids, and like how like people will just have different ideas of how to parent their kids or like talk to children and stuff like that. So it's just like really interesting and like pretty dramatic, but also like really well shot and everything. So that would be my recommendation, is Big Little Lies.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, since you guys did second recommendations, my second recommendation is Lady Vengeance, which is the third in a trilogy by Park Chan-wook. He did, you guys might know, Old Boy.
That sounds familiar.
No, it's like probably the most famous like Korean film.
Yeah, what's it about again?
Well, Old Boy is about a guy who, like, leaves, who gets out of prison and, or not a prison, he gets, like, locked up in this hotel room, basically, like, kidnapped without ever knowing who his captor is.
Yeah.
And then he's finally, like, released, and as he tries to, like, you know, enact revenge, he, right. like, falls in love, and it's just really, really fucked up. And
I like that.
Lady Vengeance is the third movie in that trilogy. Like, they're not related, but it's, like...
spiritual trilogy.
Yeah, yeah, spiritual trilogy. He created the film when he was, like, looking back at his, like, his old movies. He basically was like, oh, I have, like, barely any female characters in my movies. Or, like, because in Old Boy, like, the only female character, it's really fucked up. So he was like, okay, gonna make this movie about a woman who, she leaves prison. I think she's, like, she's accused of kidnapping and murdering a 5-year-old kid. So she goes to prison for that. And then when she leaves prison, she had, like, built all these favors with the woman in there. So she's able to basically, she has an early release. So she is also intent on revenge on whoever framed her. And it gets very, very, very dark. Like, the ending scene is incredible. Like, it's one of those, like, scenes where it's just, like, I don't want to spoil it, but it's just, like, holy shit, what would you do if you were in that situation?
That is, like, the reason why I watch movies. Like, I love that.
You're gonna, oh, can I, like, spoil it a little
bit? No, because I'm legitimately gonna watch this tonight.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe not tonight, this week, though, probably. Mm-hmm. Because I'm just looking at, like, movie stills, and it, like, looks very intriguing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it's such a good movie. And, like, yeah, the ending is just so kick-ass, and it's, like, oh, my God. the payoff is so good.
Being, like, what the hell? Like, but you get put in their shoes. Like, I always feel like that. Like, I always get so, like, if the character is really, you know, like, grabs you, and you feel like you can put yourself in their shoes and be like, what would I do in that situation? And get lost in it. I love that.
Yeah, totally. Just getting immersed.
Yeah.
Immersion.
Cassidy?
Oh, I guess if we're doing second recommendations. Airplane? It's completely tone. Have you seen? Has everyone seen Airplane?
I haven't.
I love that movie. It's so... it's dense with jokes.
Spoof?
It's like boom, boom, boom. Joke.
What's it about?
Ophelia shaking her head.
Every recommendation is always what on those, like, top 10 movies you should watch.
Oh, it's just like. I like Airplane. Airplane's really good.
Top 10 comedy films of all time.
Yeah, it's the classic one, right? Yeah. Like,
yeah, that's it's.
And
it's
don't call funny. Me Shirley. That's like
that's not even like a funny line in comparison to everyone else. Yeah. It stars Kareem Abdul-Jabbar as Kareem Abdul-Jabbar playing somebody else. Oh my God, that's my favorite.
It is.
That's
it
my
is,
favorite scene in the.
It's definitely movie. Like a movie that has influenced a lot of like comedy today. Like if you go back and watch it, and you're like, oh, like you even if you haven't seen it, it's like. You've seen it because it's been like so like repeated and plagiarized.
Mm-hmm. But and the interesting thing about Airplane and like the Naked Gun is they're funny.
Oh, that guy.
Canadian.
Yeah.
They're funny. Like you have those movies like Scary Movie or those awful movies, and they're not even funny. But if you find them funny, you have to have watched. The movies to get the references for like Airplane is like a parody of a bunch of disaster movies that nobody else has seen, but it's still funny and it stands on its own.
Right.
As like The Naked Gun is a parody of a bunch of terrible 80s cop shows
movies,
and movies that very few people have seen, but it still works on its own. So it's nice to see that it's a counterpoint to a lot of the bad parody that's out there.
That kind of not related, but as you were saying that, I thought of another thing. One of my like pet peeves in movies, in comedy movies, is like the kind where the humor is just basically based on referencing other things. Mm-hmm. Like, not like parodying is like good and stuff, but like, I mean, where it's just like, oh, it was just like that time that actor in that movie,
aka Family Guy.
Yeah, it is.
Family Guy's, that's the foundation.
I actually think Family Guy has a lot of good like one-liners and like one-off gags, and like I think some of their absurdity is like pretty funny.
Do you like Ted?
Yeah, I've never seen Ted. I'm not going to watch that. Like, Family Guy, like, I literally only just started watching it because of my roommate. And, like, you know, it's, like, funny enough. I think I like American Dad more.
Though. American Dad more, too. Definitely, I agree.
It's, like, less offensive.
The thing that's really nice about Family Guy is they don't linger on anything. If there's a joke that doesn't work, and there's lots of jokes that don't work, they don't linger on that joke. They just move on to the next one really quick. So they keep the pace up. So, like, even if you're like, oh, that joke didn't work, it's like 30 seconds later there's another joke coming at you that is a better joke. So
Well, like, they just – yeah, he has, like, a lot of good, like, good one-liners that are pretty funny. And I think my boyfriend once, like, revealed to me that a lot of jokes he's made over the years are just Family Guy jokes, but, like, repurposed.
You're
going to
find out
now.
Yeah.
You're on to him now. That's so funny. I love it. That's great. Okay.
Wow. We're, like, a true movie podcast where we're just talking about how good Family Guy is. I just like, ironically, being into really bad stuff.
No,
like,
but that's the thing. I was going to say that, though. There's a certain type of comedy where it's, like, you're not ignorant to the fact that it's so, like, it's bad or there's not a lot of effort into it. But, like, sometimes that's why stuff is funny, because you're just like, this is so dumb. Mm-hmm. And you're like, it just, it's hilarious for just that
fact
alone.
I like watching dumb shit.
Yeah, it's like, it's funny. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I'll call back to A Dog's Purpose and That Girl Running, which I am still laughing about. It's been like 2 weeks and I can picture it.
You know what's funny, Cassidy, is that it makes me laugh because I know how much it makes you laugh. Like, I see it and I'm like, I know you're laughing. So I'm like, hey, this is so much funnier now.
It's like,
it's kind of like you running through the snow and bra necklace.
That's a reference that nobody will get.
No.
But yeah, like, I really like bad movies.
My all-time favorite movie is Hot Rod. I grew up on The Lonely Island, so it's like, I think anything they do is like hilarious. And I mean, they're the reason that Saturday Night Live was like super funny during those years. And I think they still like rely on the same format of jokes. Did I talk about Pop Store any?
I don't know.
They recently.
Oh, yeah, Pop Store.
Did I talk about that?
No, I don't think. Okay, I've watched that movie too.
Yeah. Oh my God. It's really good. It's so underrated.
Like, I saw the trailer for it in the movie theater, and I was like, oh, is this, like, are they going to do me wrong? And then, like, I watched the movie and it's like,
I'm so glad you guys think that's so funny, because me and James, my boyfriend James, we watched it and we just like were killing ourselves laughing, because I was like, this
it did
is
so
insane.
Bad. I don't know why. It was really funny, I thought.
Yeah, no, it is. And like, Hot Rod, I think, is a very underrated comedy. Just like,
he's funny though. I like him.
Yeah.
Andy Samberg? Is his name? Yeah. Andy Samberg.
And he's also married to one of my all time favorite.
Who's he married to?
Joanna Newsom.
Oh,
I had no idea.
Me either. I didn't know
She's
that.
Like,
good for him.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, no, they're, yeah. Joanna Newsom is good, but, like, people really don't like her at first listen. It's like, no, you've got to, like, really let the lyricism and beautiful heart music just wash over you and fall in love.
And it douses you.
Like, this is what poetry is.
Yeah, man. That's awesome. I'm so glad you guys have seen that movie.
Yeah. I feel left out.
You should watch it. You would find it funny, Marley.
I've seen
Hot Rod, and I did enjoy it. Yeah. I love that the whole premise of the movie is that he's like, wants to beat his stepfather up. I was like, what is going on?
Raise money to save his life so I could beat him up and make him respect me.
So funny.
Yes. God.
I just vaguely, like, I remember watching that on, like, the movie channel, like, once. It's, like 10 years ago, and, like, I vaguely remember
Well, there's just so many stupid jokes, like, just this scene where they're just like, cool beans. Cool beans.
And then what's the part when he, like, walks up to the... He gets, like, tries to flirt with her and, like, get her number or something when he's, like, ordering food.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember. So funny.
Yes, that is a good scene. I can't remember it. So good. Like,
good night, you look pretty, Denise. What? I said you look shitty, Denise. Yeah.
Someone just runs away.
Yeah.
Good job. Oh.
What a gem.
So good. So good. That's a group recommendation.
Yeah.
If we're gonna leave you guys with something, it's watch Hot Rod and Pop Star.
Never stop stopping.
Holy shit.
So we have somebody's doing a feature this week.
I'm doing it.
Do you want to set her up for us?
Yeah. Okay, so this week, or really a couple weeks ago, but this segment is an interview with Monique Perrault from the Film and Special Events Departments at City Hall.
The biggest thing, no one's ever actually related to actually to blow up a bridge, but my first film that I worked on, Wait Till Helen Comes, I think is what it was called, they needed to build a church, and they built it at the back of LaBarrière Park. So they built like a full on church that they filmed in for a number of weeks, and the park gave us permission to be able to do that. That was pretty cool. We did have an explosion just over here, William, by Red River College. Mm-hmm. They blew up a car.
Oh, wow.
That's probably like a couple of the more crazier ones.
Is there ever issues when it comes to choosing locations where difficulties in certain neighborhoods, maybe people are not wanting something to happen there yet?
That happens. That happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, what we try in our office to do is make sure that we're not going back to the same place over and over and over again. I mean, nobody wants to have film trucks parked in front of their house all summer long.
Mm-hmm.
When there is a film production in the area, and if they're parked in a private area, there's really not a lot folks really can do. But when it comes to things like, for example, we have a lot of films that film at 514 Wellington Crescent, and that area has become a bit overused. So while they're welcome to continue filming at 514 Wellington Crescent, they have to park very far away, because you just can't keep parking in the same neighborhoods.